Alright guys, Dieter here from Beer Idiots, drinking a beer with
Patrick from Bryggverket in Sweden.
Voila. And we just interviewed you about innovation of beer, but now we're going to talk about topic that I noticed it was beer with blood of wren beers.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about that.
Well, there's a local Swedish festival, or in our town, a local festival, metal festival called House of Metal. Really good metal festival, one of the best in Sweden.
And it's Black and Death.
Black and Death mainly, and some other metal as well, but mainly hard Black and Death metal. And they asked if we could do their house beer. And we said, yeah, sure, of course. But when you do a house beer for a metal festival, or at least when we do a beer for someone, we want to do something special, not just do any beer and put a label on it. So what do you do with a smell? We were thinking about maybe fire or leather and like leather and what do you call it? Metal and leather, like pins and stuff. That's hard as well. And then Albin came up with the reindeer blood, because like reindeer, that's a Swedish goat, and goat, that's the devil's sign in metal, like the goat. So we decided to do a dark lager and put some reindeer blood in it and call it ren in blood. Ren is Swedish for reindeer, and rain in blood is Slayer's old super duper album Raining Blood.
It's a
paraphrase. Rain in blood, that's like rain in blood. And so we just went for it. And when the first time I called a local newspaper, and they called me and interviewed me.
When the beer was released?
Before the beer was released. I called a newspaper called me and said, well, I heard you were going to do a beer with blood in it. And I said, yeah. So they did a montage, a photo montage, and a short story, just like Bryggverket makes a reindeer blood. And then the montage was then
you guys, like, before the brewery, like standing there in your metal.
No. It was a reindeer, an axe, and a bear. So the next day I got a call from the health department in our municipality, and he's instantly in the morning, and he said, I heard you guys were doing a beer with reindeer blood in it. Yeah, that's correct. How did you go about doing that? So we explained the process, because Albin's wife's a nurse, and we're very into the sanitary part of brewing. So we boiled it for a long time. It coagulates, and you like rinse it, it coagulates when you boil it. So you mix it with water and boil it to get all the bacteria and everything out of it. And then we put it, like, we dried hopped with blood, like we put beer on the cold side after it had fermented. We put blood in the fermenter, and then we transferred it to the cans. And that was that, and it was a great success. Like in Sweden, we got nationwide coverage, and we did a small batch. I think we did 50 liters, and people were calling us and asking us if they could buy some reindeer blood, reindeer beer for their...
And people like just fans, or like also festivals and organizations?
Everyone called and wanted to buy reindeer beer blood. So I don't know. They kind of liked the notion
and
of it.
And you bottled it, or just in cakes?
The first time we bottled it and fermented it on bottles. And the second time, the following times, we did cans. So the next year we did another version of it. And then this year we did cans, black cans with the label. I'll send you the label as well.
Cool. Now it's still, the festival is done on the next editions and so. It's also still accessible there?
Or it became
one of your standard beers?
No, it has become... We only do a limited edition every year. It decreases, so I guess in the end we'll do a full batch. But we do 100 liters a year-ish. So, and then it's out. It sells out. The first batch was 50 liters. That sold out in an hour, I think. So people just go crazy for it. And this batch sold out, like, during the first day of the festival. So it's a popular beer, but I think the gimmick side of it is more popular.
And how did you, because it's bottled, and you also made a logo to brand it and stuff like that?
Yeah.
How went that?
Yeah, well, we have a great art director, Eric. He's a genius. So we took we had a picture of us four, we used to be four of us, a picture of us four standing for some, I don't know, some event or something. And I just gave that to him, and I said, could you give us all corpse paint and make us look cool black metal, like cool black metal guys, like a black metal band? And could you make our logo and the Ren & Blood logo look like an old, like a Slayer cover with the Slayer logo? So he did that. He does all this in like 5 minutes. He's a genius. So he did that. So it's like a metal label logo as well.
And then every year you brew the beer then?
Yeah, we would brew the beer and we've done some variations to it, but it seems like Rene Blood is the most popular one, so we'll stick with that. People want a dark lager with reindeer blood in it.
And how is it made, except of course the blood, it's which hops and which
it's a lager, but we use two different kinds of yeasts. It's mixed fermentation with a S23 and W3470, so two hybrid lager, you could say. And then we hop it with we dark it with dark malt color, and then we hop it with Simcoe and sometimes Chinook to get that piney, like Norwegian wood, black metal wood, like a piney flavor. And then we put blood, we dry hop it with the blood, we mix it, and then we ferment it in the bottles, like after fermentation, just to get the CO2.
And no plans of making stronger version from, or like
we did one, the previous one we did, it was called Dub Hell Pipa, and that's like bad word pun, like twice hell IPA, like twice the hell IPA or something like that, bad. That was a dark double India pale ale with the hops that we had smoked. So the hops gave
smoked hops.
Yeah, smoked hops.
We have a
smokery that did that for us. So like when you hopped it, you got both the, we had Citra and Amarillo. You got both the Citra and Amarillo character to it, and then you got like a toasted bread, it's the pellets. We smoked the pellets. Yeah. It was really bizarre. It's a kind of bizarre sensation. Like lots of alcohol, lots of malt, and then there's hops, and then there's smoke from the hops. That's kind of the Rene Blood is more popular, so we'll stick with that one.
How do you come on reindeer blood? You go to the local butcher?
Yeah, we could buy it at a store. We could buy it at stores up in the north of Sweden. You can buy reindeer blood. But we spoke to an old indigenous woman who had reindeers in Sweden, Same.
And how many reindeers sacrificed their life for the good of the metal batch?
Not even the full reindeer. Well, like it was a slaughtered reindeer for their, I think it's their personal use. And she saved the blood to do bread oven and stuff like that. So she saved it, and we saved
and sausages and stuff.
Yeah. Could we have like a bowl? Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But it's everywhere. We can buy it at the local supermarket if we want to.
And of course you also play in a metal band?
I play in lots of bands, but I play in a metal band called Bloodline from Sundsvall. Blood again, yeah, I didn't even think of that. In Sundsvall, we've been around in the Netherlands and in Germany and done some gigs, but not a big thing. Like industrial black metal, it's really niched and small, but...
We will post the link also at the bottom of this podcast episode, of course.
Yeah, great, you do that.
For which do you travel the most? For the craft beer or for the music?
Oh, more for the craft beer. Like the music, I rarely have time to play now when I have a brewery. So I play like if they have a gig or something and they want me to play, I'll join. But I usually just brew beer and work. And sometimes I get to go to a great festival like this where everything's taken care of and I can just drink beer and meet nice people like you.
How did you start in craft?
Well, I just started out of nowhere. I used to be a lager guy. Like I drank only lagers and maybe had some whiskey with that sometimes. But my friend's always into flavors, so he started brewing at home and introduced me to new flavors and stuff. So I tasted some of the beers he brought home, and I thought they were horrible at first. Like he brought home, and there was no big flavors. There was like Hoegaarden's, Hefeweizen, and I thought it tasted like soap and everything. But after a while, I kind of got in like an acquired taste. I got into the flavors, so that's how it started. He just like introduced me to beer. After a while, we thought, well, maybe we should try and do this ourselves, and we did. And 2 years after
first brewing at your local kitchen,
yeah, 25 liters.
And how was your first beer that you brewed? Was it like I'm gonna make this style or that style?
I think the first one was like a Cooper, a kit, and we thought it was awesome, but I'm pretty sure it was horrible. First beer we brewed was probably horrible, like undrinkable. We thought it was awesome, like the best beer we've ever had, but I think it was a horrible beer, like the first home beer. And then we most of us were kind of nerdy, so we nerded into it. I read a lot of books, I listen to a lot of podcasts, so on. So
and then 2 years after you started with
we started the company, made it to the four of us got equal shares in the company, or had equal shares. Now it's just me and Alvin. I quit my day job. I'm a teacher in English and music. I quit that 3 years ago. Been doing this full time. not with a full-time pay though, but I've been doing this full-time.
Yeah, I always think as a Belgian, it's like, how is the beer sector in Sweden, in the more Scandinavian countries? Because beer is mostly there more expensive than here.
Yeah, it's very much...
So your market is...
Now, we don't export anything, but the big brewers that... Or the bigger craft brewers, the good big craft brewers like Stig Berit and OO and Poppels, they export, I guess, at least a third, but maybe half of their beers. They export them, but we only sell local and in Sweden. But just to give you a notion of how it is, like a Rochefort 8 costs, that costs in a store here, you can get it for a euro or two. Swedish Systembolaget, it costs 4 or 5, that's a monopoly. And if you buy it at a pub, it's at least 9-10 euros. So it's kind of, that's the beer price. And our beers, like the beers we sell at a pub, that's 9 euros for our beers. Yeah, so, but it's taking off and people are more aware that there's other things than just a bland lager. So people are into more.
Final question. As a brewer, are there any specific old law of the protectionism in Sweden? Are there any old stupid laws or restrictions?
Not official ones. Like, it's hard for us. There's regulations regarding how we can sell our beer. We can't sell beer from our brewery. Like, we can't sell beer. We can sell beer to the government, like the monopoly, Systembolaget. And we can sell to restaurants and pubs. But if someone comes to our brewery and says, this is a good IPA, I want to buy this. Sorry, I'll lose my license and I can't brew anymore. So I can only sell beers below 3.5% to you as a private person.
All right, government shop then.
That's the truth, but with a modification. Because if you go in as a private person to my brewery and says, oh, I say, I like this beer, and then you go to the Systembolaget and try to order it, and you want to order just a six-pack, that six-pack will cost you, 25 euros, 250 Swedish crowns. So every beer gets really, really expensive because... Well, it has to go through us to Systembolaget. We have to package it for Systembolaget. They put an extra price on it because they do the handling and make it legit for you to buy it. So there's a lot of extra costs with that. So it's rigorous.
So you open a web shop and...
Yeah, I guess we have something called Glasbanken. We can't sell to private persons via a web shop either. So when we sell to private persons in Sweden now through a company like Glasbanken, they transfer it down to Denmark and then ship it back up to Sweden because then they can deliver it to your home. So when you order your beer from Glasbanken, they ship it down to Denmark and then up again to your
Glasbanken is then the...
Yeah, they're like the distributor of... No, they're a private company, but they like surpass the rule by sending the beer to Denmark and then sending it up to Sweden again. Because Denmark has other laws. You can go into any like local supermarket and have a good Belgian beer, a strong ale, a triple, or you can't do that in Sweden. In Sweden, it's 3.5% beers in the supermarkets.
And all the rest you have to buy in a specialized
shop
in all of Sweden.
Yes, you can't buy. And those shops have, they're open between 10 and 6 weekdays and Saturdays between 10 and 2, and then they're closed Sundays.
I'm still shocked. All right, Patrick, thanks
Thank you.
For the interview and shout out. And what are your metal bands again?
Bloodline. And then if you're already in there, you can go to my friends in Naglfar and their band as well.
All right, great. Gonna finish our beer up. Dear Beer Idiot, see you next time.